Want to welcome you. We are what we're doing with these Sunday mornings, rather than using video. We videoed last week, and my son in Sweden, who puts it all together, he looked at it and he said, "You look awful. Let's turn this into a podcast." So that's what we're doing. We're taking our Sunday morning recordings and we're turning it into a podcast. Because Caleb said, nobody's going to watch you anyhow, but people will listen to the podcast while they're going about other things. So get the word out, if you would, that each Sunday will be put out as a podcast. And you can get it through the website of Protestant Congregation. So want to welcome some guests. We've got two friends who are here from Canadians, Utnabooters. Who are here. We're grateful to have them. And tell me names again. Larry and Jerry Cooper. Welcome. Glad that you're here. From where? Here?
Well, here in Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay, and all the way from Jacksonville. All right, great. Glad you're here. Well, we are, last Sunday, what we did, we rewound the tape a little bit, and we went back to the last studies of the Old Testament, getting ready for this morning. And today we're on page 397, and we are at the beginning of the Gospels. And before we begin, a little book I picked up and read. Richard Baucom is a wonderful British theologian whom I appreciate. He's written one of the great books on the book of Revelation. But he wrote a little book called Who is God? And I've read through it in the last month, and it is absolutely fantastic. And what he does, he looks at four key moments of God's revealing himself in Scripture and takes those four moments because he says that's who God is as he's revealed himself through those. And the first of those moments is what he calls the revelation of God's self through the divine presence. And he starts, of course, with God appearing to Moses at the burning bush. But here's what he writes that I hope prepares us for what we're going to read this morning. He says, the strikingly, even shockingly novel expression, the Word became flesh, which is going to come out of John 1. He says that word is immediately followed by the biblically familiar expression, the Word became flesh, and dwelled among us. He says, just as the God revealed in Jesus is the same God full of grace and truth, the same God who was known to Moses, so God's presence in Jesus is being with his people, dwelling among them as it was in the earliest days of Israel's history when they were constituted in his part and as his people, in part by that very fact of God dwelling among them. Then he says, but while God's being with humans in any case is something remarkable, incarnation, in which God comes to be with us actually as one of us, as a fellow human, surpasses any possible expectation. So he's talking about Christ becoming one of us, God incarnate in the flesh of Jesus. And he says that passes any possible, surpasses any expectation. He says the prologue to John presents this to us so that when we read the gospel story as the story of God with us, we do so in the most profound sense. That's what the gospel's stories, as they begin with what we're reading this morning, it is the story of God with us. Does that make sense? Does that hang together for you? I just thought that was a great way to begin. So let's pray together as we begin our study and pray that prayer that we've prayed so often as we say, Lord, help us see you more clearly in order that we might love you more dearly and follow you more nearly. Day by day. Amen. Okay, page 397, the birth of Jesus and John the Baptist foretold. I love this opening in Luke's gospel. Now, by the way, you have the most extensive birth narratives out of the four Gospels is in Luke's Gospel. Two whole chapters. And you got to ask yourself, where did Luke come up with this stuff? Well, Luke was imprisoned with the Apostle Paul at Caesarea Maritima on the coast of Israel, which was the Roman headquarters, if you would. And he was with Paul while Paul was imprisoned there for 2 years. And my thought and the thought of others is he just took a hike, about a two-day hike up to Nazareth, where Jesus was born. And I think he sat down and talked to Mary. And I think he sat down and talked to a lot of people and said, tell us what happened. That's how we have this introduction to the birth of Jesus in Luke's gospel. It is his reporting of an eyewitness account of the events that took place. So it was in the time of Herod, king of Judah. And if this had been a melodrama, when you say Herod, everybody would have done what? Oh. Boo and hiss, all right? Not a good guy. There was a priest by the name of Zechariah. He belonged to one of the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth, she was a descendant of Aaron. This makes both of them coming through the priestly line of Israel. And both of them were upright in the sight of God. Doesn't mean they were perfect, but it means that they were very observant of God's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children. And whose fault was it? It's always the wife's fault, right? I mean, everything that goes wrong, you always blame the wife, right, Jane? Jane says, don't do that, okay? Why didn't they have children? Because she was what? Barren. What have we said about every time you encounter barrenness in the story? What's about to happen? God is about to do something significant, okay? And they were both, what a euphemistic way of saying getting old. It says they were well along in years. Don't you love that? Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and to burn something. What was it? To burn incense. There was an altar of incense. It stood in front of the curtain that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. It was about a foot and a half square and 3 feet high, and the incense was burned on top of that, and it represented the prayers of the people going into the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God was embodied by the Ark of the Covenant. Indiana Jones had not yet been there. So, and what were all of the worshipers doing? Debbie, good morning. Good to see you. What were all of the worshipers doing outside? They were all praying, okay? Zach had a surprise visitor. Who was the surprise visitor? Where was he? He was standing over on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was thrilled and just absolutely said, so happy to see you. No, what was he? Can you say nearly wet his pants? Okay. I mean, he was full of fear, but the angel said to him, and this is what angels always say when they show up, don't be afraid, all right, because they're fearful beings. Don't be afraid. And by the way, your prayer has been heard. And what was the prayer, obviously? That they'd have a child. He says, your wife, Elizabeth, is going to bear you a son, and you're going to give him the name what? John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many are going to rejoice because of his birth, because he's going to be great in the sight of the Lord. Now, sadly, he will never enjoy wine, but that was a special thing for him, or any fermented drink. And he is going to be, this is remarkable, filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Now, many of the people of Israel, he's going to bring back to their God. He will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You and I read that and we go, okay, that's great. But to the Jews who heard that, what would their mind have immediately gone to? The fourth chapter of the book of Malachi, because these are the very words that close out the Old Testament that announce that someone is going to be coming who will come before the Lord's appearing, and this is exactly what he will be doing. So 400 years later, after all of the turmoil that takes place, 400 years of silence where there is no prophet of God who speaks, and Israel is out from under Persia, the next people that come in are the Greeks, and following the Greeks are the Romans, and the Romans are in control at this moment in time, and Israel is devoid of hope, and the angel is speaking to Zechariah, telling him the hope promised by Malachi is taking shape, and Zechariah asks a question. What's his question? How can I be sure of this? And he has two reasons to ask, how can I be sure? What's the first? I'm an old man, and my wife is what? Does not use the word old of his wife, all right? He's careful about that. She's well along in years, okay? The angel introduces himself. What's his name?
Gabriel.
Where does he stand? In the presence of God. And he says, I've been sent here to do what? Speak to you and to tell you the good news. The good news first about what your son is going to do. And secondly, that you guys are going to have him, all right? And so now you will be silent, not able to speak until when? Till the day this happens. Why?
Because
you didn't believe, which will come true at their proper time. None of us in this room have ever doubted. There's none of you in here who've ever had a doubt, I'm sure. I'm sure that's not the truth, starting with me. Okay, we all have. We all struggle.
We're sure talking a lot.
We're sure talking a lot, Debbie says, yeah. Here's the irony. I mentioned this last week. When was the last time the voice of a prophet was heard in Israel? How many years before this? Four centuries, okay? Now, who's on the move? Okay, it's kind of like the Chronicles of Narnia when the children announce Aslan is on the move. Who's on the move now? God is. Who's the only guy who knows? Zechariah, and he can't say. Do you get that? God's on the move. This is the only guy in all of Israel who knows what's happening, and he can't say. So, meanwhile, the people were waiting, and they were wondering why he'd been hanging out in there so long. And the problem is nobody can go get him. All right? Nobody can go in and get him. So when he came out, he couldn't speak. And so they realized he'd seen a vision in the temple. What's that game you play where you try and pantomime and what is it? Charades. Okay, so he's playing charades when he comes out trying to communicate that he's seen an angel of God. Okay, do you get this? And everybody's going, what's happened? Okay, what's going on? Susan, you had your hand up. Yeah. Yes.
Was that public? Did all the Jews know this? Was that publicized that all the Jews knew this prediction? And or was that in a book already?
Yeah.
Were they being taught this prediction?
Yeah, yeah. It was the final book of what our Jewish friends called the Tanakh, the Jewish Bible. And Malachi, it was the last prophecy. And so it was out there and everybody knew it. And then... You mean there were people there who had the scriptures and didn't read them, didn't study them? Thankfully, that does not happen anymore in our time at all. Jane brings that out. Exactly. You know, they weren't paying attention, but some were, as we're going to see. Yeah. So, now, when his time of service was completed, he returned home. I would like to see what Elizabeth said when he came and with that look in his eye. What are you thinking? Okay. And here he comes. And at any rate, somehow, she is pregnant. And for 5 months, she remained in seclusion. Ladies, why?
Nobody would believe.
Okay, nobody would believe. Great answer. Maybe one other. What else? The voice of experience speaking back there. Morning sickness. What are you exactly miscarry? Are you what are you afraid of in those first five, especially if you're an elderly person over 40? Okay, you lose the baby, all right? So, yeah, elderly over 40, we're all here. Yeah, she was probably well up in her 80s. Okay, yeah, I mean, that's we're talking seriously old here, almost as old as some people that I know. So, anyhow, so okay, here we go. Listen to what she says. The Lord has done this for me. He has taken away my what?
Disgrace.
My disgrace. To be barren was to be disgraced in that culture, sadly. Jane and I have dear friends who have been through the years who've never been able to have children. I had an associate in Wichita, Steve Dickey, and Steve's wife, Linda, just wonderful couple, and they never able to have children. And I'll never forget a Mother's Day. Steve probably helped me more than any other time be sensitive on Mother's Day. Mother's Day is joyful for women who've had babies, but not always joyful for women who've not been able to have children. And Steve's wife, Linda, really helped me understand that. And it's kind of, it's sort of tempered how I approach Mother's Day. But in that time, it is not a disgrace today, but in that time it was. So now Gabriel's been a busy boy, all right? In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to where? Nazareth. Listen, Nazareth was such a small, out-of-the-way place, he probably needed to ask Siri how to get there. Okay, who did he go to?
Gabriel, virgin.
A virgin. Who was pledged to be married to a guy named what? Named Joe, who was a descendant of David. What's the virgin's name?
Mary.
One of the things that when it comes to Mary, I think our Catholic friends in some way have gone to one extreme in venerating her. All right. But I think we as Protestants have gone to the other extreme. We just ignored her, okay? And do you know who she's really presented as being? The first disciple of her son. The first disciple of her son, to be highly honored, truly. So the angel went to her, and what did he say? Now, okay, get a picture in your mind. Probably 13, all right? Get your 13-year-old daughter in your mind, okay? And this angel comes to your 13-year-old daughter, and what does he say?
Greetings.
Greetings. Yes. You are what?
Highly favored.
The Lord is with you. And Mary was thrilled with these words, right? No, she's what? Deeply troubled. And she wondered, what's this guy's greeting mean? But the angel said to her, again, what's the first thing angels say? Don't be afraid, all right? You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Yeshua in Hebrew. And what Yeshua means in Hebrew, Jesus means God saves. God is salvation. So he's going to be given the name Yeshua, all right? He will be what?
Great.
And what will he be called?
Son.
the Son of the Most High. And what is God going to give him as a birth present? The throne of who? His father David. And what is he going to do on that throne? Reign over the house of Jacob. What is the house of, who is the house of Jacob? The Jewish people. All right. And what about his, is he is subject to 2 4-year terms in office, right? How long is his kingdom going to last? Will never end. That is huge. It goes back to what God promised David in 2 Samuel 7. What's Mary's question? How will this be? Her mother had the talk with her, okay? How's this going to happen because I'm a virgin, all right? That question must be very different from Zechariah's question. The angel said this, who is going to come upon you? The Holy Spirit. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And the one to be born in you is going to be what? The Holy One. And who is he going to be called? The Son of God. Even who? Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be barren, is in her 6th month because what? Nothing is impossible with God. Read Mary's response with me. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. And then the angel left her. Okay, so what did Mary go home and do? Packed her bag and called Uber. All right? And she hurried off to the town in the hill country of Judea. When she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth, and when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, what happened? John, the baby in her womb, leapt. When Jane was pregnant, if you remember the 7th and 8th month, I always liked for her to curl up to my back because the kids gave me back rubs, you know, with their elbows when they were their knees or whatever it was in the womb. The baby leapt within her. The angel had told Zechariah, this child will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. And Elizabeth, filled with the Spirit, in a loud voice exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the what? The mother of my Lord should come to me. As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has done what? Believe what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. And then you have this great, this is called Mary's Magnificat, the hymn that she sings. I'm going to invite you to read that on your own later today. If you've got Pandora, look up John Michael Talbot and have get his singing of Mary's Magnificat. It is absolutely superb. Now, 13-year-old pregnant girl, small town village in Israel. What's happening? You don't think people are talking, do you? No, not at all. Most likely, yeah, all right. You ask her, how'd this happen? God did it. Okay? God did it. The rumor was she was either raped or had an affair with a Roman soldier, and that the pregnancy came about in that way. I grew up in a small town, and I know how the coconut telegraph works in a small town. I can't even imagine in a small village. How do you think she felt when she went to get water at the well? Can you imagine the things that were said about her? Now, can you imagine the joy of going to Elizabeth's? And before she could even tell Elizabeth what's happened, what does Elizabeth say to her? Blessed are you, the mother of my Lord. Can you imagine the significance of that affirmation to Mary in that moment? Mary, I don't know any of this, but God has inspired this in me to know that what's going on in your body is what God is doing. What a moment that must have been. We're going to come to another one. Okay, go to page 400, please. This is the most stimulating part of Matthew's gospel. It is the genealogy. Okay, he did 23andMe or Ancestry.com and came up with this, right? Okay, this is the record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of whom? Why does that matter? Why should I care? Huh? Anybody?
It was foretold that the Messiah would come out of the house of David.
Ah, it was foretold that the Messiah would come from whom? The house of David. So if we're going to extend some messianic claims, what's the first thing he's got to be? He's got to come from the house of David. Now, who is the next person mentioned? And by the way, some people don't like this genealogy because there's way too much begatting that takes place here. All right? So whose son was he first? After David? No. After David, who's mentioned first? Why does that matter? Goes back to the beginning. I was invited to pray with a Jewish person this week who's dying of cancer. And she was laying there in the bed and she said, my grandfather was in Poland. He wasn't religious. My father wasn't religious and I'm not religious. And I said, well, listen, one of the reasons I believe in God is because you're there. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, if you're a Jew, are you a Jew? Yeah, good. Well, then that means there was somebody named Abraham. And if there was somebody named Abraham, that means that there was a God. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Oh, was that Sarah's husband? And all of a sudden, the conversation began to open up. You can pray that conversation will continue to open up further. So, father of Abraham... son of Abraham, Jewish credentials, drop down about a third of the way. Here comes Jesse was the father of whom? King David. Okay, and then you drop down, you've got the exile, and then you come down to Joseph. So that means that Joseph was a descendant of two guys who matter. Who's the first? Abraham makes him Jewish. Second, David makes his son whom he is not the father, from that kingly lineage promised to David. Now, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about, top of 401. Mary was pledged to be married to Joe, but before they came together, she was found to be what? With child, pregnant through the Holy Spirit, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to disgrace. What was his first plan? Why? Why divorce her?
They had to be married to be divorced. Well, that's
part of it. But why did he want to divorce her quietly?
Oh, because he didn't want to be a big public. Why?
Huh? Well, but why would he want to divorce her if he respected her? She's pregnant. Oh, okay. And is he kind of convinced that God was the father? I don't think so. Not so much. So I am not going to, he's a good man. I'm not going to disgrace her, but I'm not going to put up with this. I'm going to divorce her. Okay? So, guess who shows up? Here comes Gabriel again. All right? And he appears to him in a dream. Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Because what is conceived of her is from whom? The Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Yeshua, because he will do what? Save his people from their sins. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. And what did the prophet announce hundreds of years beforehand? Read it with me. The virgin will be with child, and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And in the incarnation, What does the presence of Jesus mean? Who's with us? God is with us. And through the gift of the Holy Spirit, where does God now dwell in those who put their trust in Him? In us. And remember, Jesus in John said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to come, and we're going to make our home in you. In the incarnation, God is with us. So Joseph wakes up, and he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. And what did he do?
Took Mary.
Can you imagine how she must have felt? I mean, nonverbal communication. Are any of you married couples aware that nonverbal communication happens between husbands and wives at times? You know? Oh, dear. So, can you just imagine when he is with her, the doubt that he's giving off that she can pick up and go, this is not going to be so good? And can you imagine what it was like when he comes to the house that morning and says, Mary, I now know that what's gone on is what God is doing. And I want you to know you're going to be my wife, and I'm never walking away from you. We're going through this together. Can you just imagine what that must have been like to her? God's gift to her. Elizabeth first saying, oh, this is real. Now who? Now Joe. All right, turn the page. We get to, yes.
Do you think he didn't tell him what had happened with the Annunciation?
I'm sure she did. Good, Eleanor, as always, great questions. Do you think she didn't tell him what had happened? What do you think? You think she told him?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. And
he just
didn't believe it. You know, God did it? You bet. Where's the lawyer? Okay. How do I do this quietly? The birth of John the Baptist, when it was time, page 403, it's time for Elizabeth to have the baby. She gives birth to a son, and the relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her what? Her joy, okay? And on the eighth day, it came time to circumcise the child, and they were going to name after his father. He was going to be Zach Jr., okay? But mom spoke up, and what did mom say? No, his name's going to be John. I was telling this lady when we visited the other day, talking about her grandparents being in one of the shuttles in Poland. I was telling her about our honeymoon. Jane and I went to New York, and my first Broadway musical was seeing Zero Mostel in Fiddler, and I'll never forget that in those little shuttles in Poland where they came from. So at any rate, what was his great word always? Tevius. Tradition. And so that they break out into song tradition in the village, and they're saying nobody among your relatives is called by that name. And so who can't talk? Zach can't talk. Okay? So they made signs to his father to find out what he would name the child, and he asked for somebody's iPad. And to everybody's astonishment, what did he write? His name is John, and as soon as he wrote that, what happens? His mouth is opened, and his tongue is loosed, and what's the very first thing he began to do? Praising God for what was taking place. The neighbors are all doing one of these, okay? Going, oh my goodness. They were filled with awe. And throughout the hill country of Judea, what were people doing? They were talking about what was going on. Everybody who heard this wondered about it. And what was their wondering question? What's this child going to be? And then Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he begins to do what? He begins to prophesy about the impact of his son. The first half of his prophecy is, let's just follow along. He starts by praising the Lord, the God of whom? The God of Israel. Why is he praising him? What has God done? He's come, and what has He come to do? Redeem His people. And what has God raised up for them? A horn of salvation from what house? David, as he said through his holy prophets long ago, now this is what the Messiah, Jesus, is going to accomplish. First, what's the first thing?
Salvation.
From whom? Our enemies, and from the hand of all who what? Hate us. All right. Sadly, that hatred is still going on. What is He going to show? What is He going to remember? The Holy Covenant. Now, who did He make that covenant with?
Abraham.
Okay. And what's He going to do for us? Rescue us from our enemies. What's He going to enable us to do? Serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all our days. What kind of expectation does that kind of prophecy create in your mind when you read those things? What do you get? What's the sense of what Yeshua is going to do? Not all at once, okay?
Gonna make it good for us,
Dan. Yeah, thank you. Glad Dan's here to help out this morning. Yeah, exactly. He's going to make it good for us. Hey, He's going to take all of these wretched circumstances that we're living under, and what's He going to do? He's going to change them. And is Jesus going to deliver on all of those things? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's why they didn't believe in Him, some of them, because He didn't deliver according to those experts. He didn't defeat our enemies. But what enemy did He defeat, Debbie? Evil and death. And death. The last enemy of all, right? So Jesus, in that prophecy, is going to fulfill those things, but in a way it took spiritual eyes to see when He came. Now He's going to talk about His boy. And my child, you're going to be called a what?
Prophet.
He is the last Jewish prophet. John the Baptist marks the end of the line of Jewish prophets. He's going to be a prophet of whom? The Most High. And he's going to be the advance man for somebody. Who?
Jesus.
The Lord. Who's that? It'll be Jesus. And what's He going to do as the advance man? He's going to prepare the way for Him. And what's he going to give the people? The knowledge of salvation. Okay, but what was going to be required before they could really understand the knowledge of salvation? I mean, what was John's ministry? He was in the temple in Jerusalem, and he was gently teaching everybody, right? John the Baptist was, right? Is that where he was?
No,
where was he? He's in the desert, okay? Had a weird diet, okay? What did he like? Locusts, hopefully with honey every now and then. And his wardrobe was from GQ, right? What was his wardrobe, Rich? Camel hair coat, just like the one Rich is wearing. How many of you guys have a camel hair blazer? Okay, I had a cool tan camel hair blazer once upon a time. And what was his kind message to the people of Israel when they came? Repent! Because if you don't repent and submit to this baptism, you're not going to be able to see the kingdom of God when it comes. And when the religious leaders came down, he had supper ready for them, and he was so happy to see them. What did he tell them when they came? You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? He had not been to Dale Carnegie, all right? And so here he is. But he's going to give his people, the Jewish people, the knowledge of salvation, the forgiveness of sin, because of what? Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness, in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet in the path of peace. Those are all words from the prophets written hundreds of years before it took place. And this child grew and became what in spirit? Strong. And he lived in the desert. A until he appeared publicly to Israel. Wow. So this is all getting ready for the unfolding of the story of God with us. Now, the birth of Jesus, bottom of 403, Luke chapter 2. I had to tell you how much things have changed. I remember being in the third grade at David C. Crockett Elementary School in Greenville, Texas, and I had to memorize this for the Christmas play. I'm so glad that the Christmas play is still being presented in public schools today in our nation. So, do what? What's that, Frank?
It's the winter holiday now.
Frank is reminding me it's the winter holiday now that we are celebrating. Yeah. Okay, in those days, somebody issued a decree. Who? President Biden. He's doing a lot of decreeing these days, and others have done it before him. He is not the only one. Anyhow, issued a decree that what? Census should be taken of the entire Roman world. So please see everything around the Mediterranean from Greece all the way through through Italy, all around what is Turkey, almost over toward India, down through what is the Levant, Israel, Jordan, and then all the way across North Africa. That was where the census went out. Thankfully, they had AI to help them with the computer program, okay? And so this was the first census that took place. And what Luke is doing, he is rooting this in history. He's saying this was when DeSantis was the governor of Florida. Okay, that's when this took place. And everyone had to go where? To their hometown to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in where? Galilee. Now, a lot of you have been to Israel with us. How far is Nazareth in Galilee from Bethlehem, south of Jerusalem? About 80 miles, okay? Pardon?
Long bus ride,
Rick. Exactly. It was for us anyhow, wasn't it? And so to Bethlehem, and he had to go there because he belonged to the house and the line of whom? David. So he went there to register with whom? Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and she was very pregnant. 80 miles walking. 80 miles back of a mule. Ladies, how many of you love the 8th and 9th month of pregnancy? Okay, I will not say what my wife said, but she did not particularly enjoy that, that night, something about being a beached whale, as I recall, that you felt like. Is that what you said? Did I say that just now? Oh my gosh, I'll be eating dinner by myself tonight, so, okay. So, here they are, the time comes for the baby to be born, she gives birth to her firstborn. Who's the midwife? Joe? Joe have a lot of experience delivering babies? He's maybe 16, 17, 18. Ladies, how would you like the guy to be the one who delivers your baby? I mean, just think about the discomfort, both of them. All right, the most intimate thing in the world, delivering this child. And where did they put him? What is a manger? It's a feed trough, okay? This is where God with us gets placed when he comes into the world. Enters the world in utter humility. And why did they put him in that manger? Somebody said, no room in the inn. Probably the inn was like a stable attached to a house. And somebody said, look, you're welcome to stay here where we keep the animals. How would you like to give birth in a stable? You know, sweep out the straw, sweep out the manure, maybe put some clean straw down, maybe get some, just imagine that. Welcome to our world. Now, who comes next? Shepherds. Are shepherds good guys?
Yeah, they're nice and clean, smell good.
Nice, clean, smell good. Do they have a good reputation back in that day? No, they have a reputation for being notoriously light-fingered. You make sure that the zippers on your pants are closed and your purse is zipped up, okay? Because here they come. There's some shepherds. Where are they living? Out in the fields. What are they doing? The flocks may well have been, this is in the hills of Bethlehem, these sheep may well have been the sheep that were being prepared to be offered for sacrifice in the temple. Okay? Here they are, keeping watch. Suddenly, who shows up? Here's this angel. He appears, and suddenly, what happens? What appears? The glory of the Lord shone around them. Every time the glory of the Lord has been manifested, it's often called the Shekinah glory. What experience do people have of encountering that glory? Absolutely in awe and overwhelmed. And so here are these shepherds, and the glory shone around them. How did they respond? Terrified, okay? Here's the angel. What are the first four words out of an angel's mouth? Do not be afraid, okay? And why? Why not be afraid? What's he bringing? Good news of what? Who's it for? All of the people. And the good news is that today in the what? Who's been born? A Savior. And who is he? Let me teach you something. Every time you read the word Christ, Christ is the Greek word Christos, and Christos is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word Mashiach. And Mashiach in Hebrew means anointed one, and the anointed one is the coming Messiah. And so when Luke says he is Christ, what is he declaring? He's God's Messiah, and he is also the Lord. He is God. When you read the word Lord in Jewish context, it is often a substitute for the name of God. So this one is both Messiah and God. Now, what's the sign that these guys are going to get? What are they going to find? A baby. He's going to be wrapped in a blue blanket with a little blue thing, stocking cap on the back of his head and a little bracelet on his wrist, right? No. What's he going to be wrapped in? Do you know what swaddling cloths are, friends? They are the rags you wipe the udder of cattle down with. That's what Jesus was wrapped in and put in a feeding trough in a barn. That's how God came to our world, in the person of Jesus. Remember Superstar? Why'd you choose such a backward time and such a strange land? If you'd come today, you know, I think those are haunting questions, and I think that's what led to the Jesus Revolution in the 70s. All of those questions of Superstar. Okay. Suddenly, who's there? The angel band shows up, okay? And what are they, what's their song that they're singing? What does it say? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, what? Peace, shalom to those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had packed up and gone to heaven, what did the shepherds say to each other? We got to go check this out. Okay, now, Joseph and Mary are where? Where are they? Okay, they're in the stable, all right? When did they send out the birth announcements? Huh? When the printer sent them back. But had they gotten them yet? No. What happens? Who comes? The shepherds show up. Do you think there might have been a little bit of surprise on their face when these shepherds show up? Oh, yeah, And they, let's see this thing that the Lord has told us about. They hurried off. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Do you think shepherds showing up was another affirmation of God? That what's happened is what God has done? I do. Smelly shepherds come into your door just after birth has come, and we have come because heaven has told us who this child is. Wow. So, what did they do? They woke the whole town up, all right? And all who heard it were amazed because who said it? Shepherds. They are not the first people you would choose to be on your announcement list, okay? And then they returned glorifying and praising God because of all of the things they've heard and seen, which had been just as they were told. So we've got, let's see, who all has affirmed now that what's happened to Mary is of God? Who was the first one? This is, I'm testing your memories, okay? All right, Elizabeth was the first one. Who was the next one? Joseph. Okay. Now who's testifying to it? Bunch of smelly shepherds are showing up and testifying to it. Now it's the eighth day. And what happens on the eighth day to a first to a male in Jewish culture? What's it time to do? Have the bris. It's time for the circumcision. So he was named. He was also the naming day. They gave him the name what? Yeshua. The name the angel had given him before he was not born, but before he was conceived. So now, 30 days later, the time comes for Mary's purification. According to the law of Moses, when it was completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be what? Consecrated to the Lord, given back to God, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord. What's the offering? When Jane and I go to all charities and we look at some of the things that are up for auction, I take my credit card out and I go, honey, you put them all together, there's not enough credit on these cards to bid on any of these things. Maybe a bottle of wine over here. Okay? Two pigeons and two doves. What kind of disrespectful people would bring such a meager offering to God in exchange for their son? What kind of people would do that? It was the offering of the poor. Tells you everything you need to know about Mary and Joseph. Devout, righteous, honoring God. But what's there? They wouldn't have gotten into Ocean Reef, would they? Okay? I've got a good friend back in Wichita. He says, I am suspicious of any club that would have me as a member. It's the offering of the poor. God made provision for us at every level. So they bring their two pigeons, all right? Now, there was a man in Jerusalem. What's this guy's name? Simeon. What was he? What's outstanding about him? Righteous and devout. What had he been waiting for? He'd been waiting for God to show up. He'd been waiting for the consolation of Israel. Who was upon this man? The Holy Spirit. And what had the Holy Spirit revealed to him? He's not going to die before he sees the Lord's what? Okay, what's the other name of Christ? Before he sees the Lord, say it with me, the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he goes into the temple courts when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Here comes this old guy up, Betsy. And he takes the baby out of your arms. How would you have felt, moms? Nervous? Incredibly nervous. Listen to what he says. What does he begin to do? Praise God. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. Why? What have my eyes seen? Your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of what? You haven't done this in secret, sight of all people. Who is he going to be first? A light for whom? Raise your hand. A light for us. And the glory of whom? His people, Israel. The child's father and mother, what? Marveled. And Mary, by the way, when the shepherds came, I overlooked it. What did she do with that moment? She treasured it in her heart. What does that mean, moms? She kind of tucked that memory away. She wasn't sure she got it, okay? So now, they marveled. Then Simeon, what did he do? He blessed the child. And he says to Mary, this child is destined to cause what? What does that mean? What does that mean? Not all at once. And the trap door won't open if you say something. John, what does it mean? Okay, he's going to be very important. And he's also going to be what? The falling of people means divisive. The falling and the rising of many in Israel. He's going to be a sign that will be what? Spoken against. Okay, he's going to be a sign that they're not going to believe what he's saying. He represents the reality that he points to with his life and his teaching. And the thoughts of many people, he is going to what? He's going to reveal. Remember those times in some of the events where he does the miracles? I love the one where the four guys are letting their buddy down through the roof. And the Pharisees are and the scribes are looking around there upset. They're waiting to see what was happened. And Jesus was distressed because he knew what was in their hearts. Okay, he's revealing what's going on in their hearts. And then what does he tell Mary is going to happen? What's going to pierce her soul? A sword. When did the sword pierce her soul? At the crucifixion. But maybe one other time too. When might that other time have been? Definitely at the crucifixion. Remember when Jesus' mother and brothers thought he was out of his gourd? And so they're going to try and talk some sense back into him. And they tell him, hey, your mom and your brothers, they're outside. And what does Jesus say? Remember? What does he say, Joy?
You are my...
He says, who are my mother? Who are my brothers? And who is he looking at? You are. How do you think mom felt? You remember that point, Debbie? Yeah. You think she felt rejection in that moment? Yeah. Not as deep as the crucifixion. But where was she at the time of the resurrection? She was gathered with all of the other disciples. She was with them in that upper room. Okay. Now, who else shows up? A prophetess. What's her name? Who is daddy? Phanuel. All right. What tribe? Asher. So she's got her Jewish credentials. She was also, okay, this time he's not quite so kind. She was what? Very old. All right. How long was she able to live with her husband? 7 years. He dies. And so she was a widow until, how old is she now? 84. I don't think that's very old anymore, but they did then. But where did she make her home? Never left the temple. What did she do? Worshiping night and day with fasting and praying. Now, let's see. The shepherds have come up. Simeon has come up. Now who's coming up? When God does something three times, what does that mean? Pay attention. Right? Something significant's going on here. Anna, she comes up to them and she gives thanks to God. And what does she begin to do? Speaks to everybody about the child. Everybody who was looking forward to what? The redemption of Jerusalem. Now, when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of God, back to Galilee, all right, to their own town of Nazareth, and read the last verse with me. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, that is the beginning of the story of God with us, and I've gone 1 minute over time. Okay, well, all right. Okay, so John Silly asks the big question down here. His question is, when did they go to Egypt? What was that? And Lori answers it saying?
Said they were there and back.
They were there and back, okay. The answer is, that part of the story didn't matter to Luke. See, each one of the gospel writers is writing to a specific audience. And so, the parts of the life of Jesus that they inspired by the Holy Spirit to include in the Gospels were those parts that would speak uniquely to the people that they were writing to. And Luke primarily addressed his Gospel to a Gentile audience, as he says at the beginning, his buddy Theophilus. And he says, I've researched all this carefully from the beginning. Now, why did Matthew include the flight into Egypt in his account of the birth of Jesus? He's writing to Jews. And why did he write about the flight into Egypt? Because who predicted it? The prophets. And so it says that it might be fulfilled. Does that make sense to you? Okay, when I first went to seminary and was given a, you know, the synopsis, that four thing in Greek, and I'm going, oh my gosh, these guys cut and paste. They moved all kinds of stuff around. And then somebody really helped me understand, no, wait a minute. Each of these authors of the gospel was inspired by God to put the material of Jesus' life together in such a way it told exactly the story the way God wanted the story to be told, so that the audience that received it would really hear and understand. Does that make sense? When you read the Gospels and those differences, somebody said, oh, look at all those mistakes. There aren't any mistakes there. They're there by design and by God's inspiration. Okay, I'm done. All right, is that a good start for us? Good, and we're going to pick up next Sunday at what day is it? Day 211. I think day 213. Yep, 213 through 217. We're going to start with the visit of the wise guys next Sunday. All right, see you. Have a great week. God bless.